It means holy worship. Join me, your host, Robert Randall, as we delve into biblical instrumentation and music history to discover the sounds behind the words of our Savior, Yeshua, Messiah. Mishpikaha, Yeshua Messiah. Good morning, family in Jesus Christ. Welcome to another show of Kadoshika, Holy Worship, unpacking the understanding of biblical instrumentation as well as the cultural perspectives of Hebraic and Greek thought on music. Today, we're going to be looking at the strings, the various string instruments that Scripture speaks of. Keep in mind, once again, that most of our origins of these instruments, based on their linguistic and cultural perceptions, and scholarship is highly debated. We need to be open-minded with some objective agnosticism, just knowing that there are things that we do not know that are lost to history. When I say healthy agnosticism, brethren, please understand that I am in no way questioning the perfect Word of God, the Ruach HaKodesh that dwells in our flesh, our Holy Spirit, and the Bible that we hold today. We are to question the history and the scholarship of men and understand that there is some agnosticism, things that man does not know in light of his scrutiny of Scripture. That being said, let's delve into this. Our first instrument today is the kinnor. In Greek, the term for this instrument would be arpa. Now, traditionally, this instrument has a slender curve, and it can be held, or it can be laid down flat, depending on its structure, and played with your fingers, very much like a guitar, or plucked with a quill bone plectrum, a small slender staff that would allow you to pluck the strings, very much akin to what we would consider an ancient guitar pick. The frame of the instrument was made from baroche or almug wood, as recorded in 1 Kings 10, verse 12. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of Jehovah, and for the king's house, kinnors, harps also, and psalteries for singers. The father of the kinnor is mentioned in Bereshith, Genesis 4, verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such that handle the kinnor and the ugab, or the organ. Here, Scripture clearly shows Jubal to be the first inventor of musical instruments. On a side note, Jubal, one of Cain's descendants, and his brother, Jabal, in verse 20 of the same chapter, are depicted as ritualistic characters within the Master Masonic degree of the Blue Lodge in Freemasonry, though their professions are changed to that of temple architects. While it is debated as to its identity due to its similar shape as that of a lyre, we know for certain about its function when played. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 4 through 6. Reading again from Blue Letter Bible Hebrew Names Version, speaking of David, the text says, "He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of Jehovah, and to celebrate and to thank and praise Jehovah, the God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and the second to him, Zechariah, Yareel, and Shemaraimot, and Yechael, and Metaliel, and Eliav, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Yeiel, with psalteries, with harps, and Asaph with cymbals, sounding aloud. And Benaiah and Yechaziel at the Kohanim with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant." Here we see a description of the kinnor used in religious ceremonial procession by the Levites before the Ark of the Covenant. The kinnor was mainly used in religious functions or in psalms. George Leo Hydock, circa AD 1849, comments, Zacharias at the head of the second band. These played the nebel and kinnor, as the women did not sing in the tabernacle, to our notice of a conductor and within the procession. Not only was it used in religious function, but in moments of joy and praise, and one's spiritual healing. Music has medicinal purposes for people and nations. The nation of Tyre, while playing and singing with a kinnor, is healed. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 23, verses 15 through 18, describes the nation of Tyre, singing its name back to life after being ruled by a tyrant and forgotten for 70 years. Yeshayahu says, "It shall come to pass in that day that Zoar shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years, it shall be to Zoar, as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, you prostitute, that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that you may be remembered. It shall happen after the end of 70 years that Yehovah will visit Zoar, and she shall return to her hire, and shall play the prostitute with all the kingdoms of the world on the surface of the Eretz of the earth. Her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to Yehovah. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for those who dwell before Yehovah, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing." On a personal level, we see David using music to cure King Saul. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit was upon Saul, king of Israel, that David took a kinnor. And so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." 1 Samuel 16, verse 23. Several church fathers comment on this passage. "Some of these truths might make some passing impression, even on the midst of Saul, and the devil could not bear to hear the praises of God. St. Augustine said, nothing can equal the divine harmony of those sublime truths which are contained in the Psalms of David, and nothing can so powerfully contribute to drive away the spirit of pride from our hearts and awaken them to the voice of heaven." Reeve says, "The melody of David's harp, as some of the fathers remark, represents their sweet and engaging demeanor, which should be distinguished the peaceful ministers of the gospel, whether they strive to allay the rage or dispel the fears of a troubled mind. The kinnor also expresses the sorrow of the Hebrew people during their 70-year captivity in ancient Babylon, so that the land of Israel would have its Sabbath rests. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. Yes, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our kinnors, harps, upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive requested of a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing Yehovah's song in a strange land?" Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. Augustine of Hippo, circa AD 430, says of verse 2 of this psalm, "On the willows in the midst thereof we hung our instruments of music." Verse 2. "The citizens of Jerusalem, their instruments of music, God's scriptures, God's commands, God's promises, meditation on the life to come. But while they are dwelling in Babylon, they hang their instruments. Willows are mournful trees, and here so placed that no good whatsoever can be understood of them. Elsewhere, perhaps, there may. Therefore, by deferring to apply the scriptures to them, we hang up our instruments of music upon the willows, for we hold them not worthy to carry our instruments. We do not, therefore, insert our instruments into them and bind them to them, but defer to use them, and so hang them up, for the willows are the unfruitful trees of Babylon, fed by temporal pleasures, as by the waters of Babylon. The cultural evolution, as aforementioned, is debated to Egyptian reliefs uncovered at Thebes and Deca that depict a three-cornered trigon, while others debate the number of strings. Historian Fettes, in his Historia Grammale de la Musique, Volume 1, page 384, claims it has 9 strings, while Dr. Jebb, a literal translation of the Psalms, Longman's Dissertation 2, proves to be more valid linguistically and scripturally, citing 1 Chronicles 15:21 in reference to the word Shemeneth, the Hebrew number 7, specifying harps played by the Levites as having 7 strings. Just as the Greek Septuagint LXX provides the phrase Alamoth on the 8th, the 8-string instrument being the Nebel. Big difference here. The 1st century historian Josephus gave his take, stating that the kinnor had 10 strings and the Nebel 12. He further stated that the kinnor was made from mixed metal called electrum. Hydak, another scholar, agrees. The Septuagint frequently supplies strings, plural, Psalm 32, verse 2. They had guitars and presided over the 8th band of intone. All the bands formed 4 choirs, distinguished by their instruments, the cymbal, the bell, kinnor, and trumpets, which is cited by Calmet. The case for the kinnor being a lyre comes from Sir Gardner Wilkinson, stating in his work Manners and Customs of Ancient Egyptians, Volume 2, page 296, that a particular painting at a tomb depicts Asiatic foreigners wearing multicolored coats with their herds and instruments. Wilkerson says, the first figure is an Egyptian scribe who presents an account of their arrival to a person seated, the owner of the tomb, and one of the principal officers of the reigning pharaoh. The next, also an Egyptian, ushers them into his presence, and two advance, bring presents, the wild goat, or ibex, and the gazelle. The productions of their country, 4 men, carrying bows and clubs, follow, leading an ass, on which 2 children are placed in panniers, accompanied by a boy and 4 women, and, last of all, another ass, laden with 2 men, one holding a bow and club, the other a lyre, which he plays with the plectrum. The lyre is rude and differs a little from those generally used in Egypt. The kassar, an Ethiopian harp, of similar build, with goat strings, a wooden frame, and a bone plectorum, like the kinnor. Some would argue it is from Assyria, pointing to the root kinroth, and the mention of kinnors used by musicians like Laban the Assyrian in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 5. And he, Laban, appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of Yehovah, and to record and to thank Yehovah, God of Israel. Jael with psalteries and kinnors, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals, Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets, continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. The evidence presented thus far seems to clearly indicate that the kinnor was of Hebrew origin, which is unfortunate because of the rendering of the nations depicting animus carvings and dedications to pagan deity. This is why it is likely that the Hebrews themselves influenced the nations around them. Other scriptures promoting the use of the kinnor in 1 Chronicles 25, verse 3, show that such harps were used as accompaniment in prophesying. Of Yedutun, the sons of Yedutun, Gedaliahu, and Tezrai, and Yeshiah, Heshaviah, and Mattiah, 6, under the hands of their father, Yedutun, with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising Yehovah. The prophet Isaiah 16, verses 7 and 11, proclaims judgment upon the city of Moab, making allusion to harp playing. Baiadres, women of an immoral character, even alluding to Israel as a harlot, who can be remembered in song, since their place is in a ruin and polluted with idolatry. The Nevi Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 16, starting at verse 7, says, "Therefore shall Moab wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail for the raisin cakes of Kir Hareset. Shall you mourn utterly stricken? For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibma. The lords of the nations have broken down the choice branches of it, which reached even unto Yazer, which wandered into the wilderness. Its shoots were spread abroad. They passed over the sea. Therefore I will weep with the weeping of Yazer for the vine of Sibma. I will water you with my tears, Heshbon and Elaleh. For on your summer fruits and on your harvest, the battle shout is fallen. Gladness is taken away, and joy out of the fruitful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither joyful noise. Nobody shall tread out the wine presses. I have made the vintage shout to cease. Why, my heart sounds like a harp for Moab, and my inward parts for Keres. It shall happen when Moab presents himself, when he wearies himself on the high places, and shall come down to his sanctuary to pray, that he shall not prevail. This is the word that Yahovah spoke concerning Moab in times past." Scripture furthermore declares that we have songs of victory and mourning, where the kinnor is used after times of war. "Take a kinnor, go about the city, thou harlot, that hast been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered." Isaiah 23:16. The people under Jehoshaphat, returning with joy to Jerusalem, after overcoming the Moabites, made joyful sounds with psalteries and kinnors and trumpets. 2 Chronicles 20:28. Despite the debate of its subsequent evolution in origin, it is clear such an instrument amongst the Hebrews was kosher, without animist carvings, and held a place of honor in times of victory, feast days, spiritual healing, and most importantly, prophetic worship and utterance. And in conclusion, I would like to state that I believe that the kinnor was one of the few Hebraic instruments from the nation of Israel. And despite the number of strings that are debated amongst church fathers and scholars, it certainly has had an impact on the nations surrounding Israel that took Israel captive over the centuries. I invite you next week to tune in and join me as we continue our journey through exploring the strings within the Bible. Next week we'll be looking at the Nebel and the Nebel Azor. And so, until next time, please be a Berean with all readiness of mind. Acts 17:11. Test everything according to Scripture. Do not believe anything that Robert Randall or any scholar with letters after their name tells you. Test everything. Finally, Father, I'd like to give you glory for today. Thank you for edifying the body of Messiah with this information. May they take it to heart. May they test it. May they do their own research and come to their own conclusions through the joys of music and the joys of studying your word and the song and notes behind your word. In Yeshua's name, amen. As with every episode, brethren, I conclude with a Davidic psalm, a Tehillim for your meditation. Tehillim, Psalm chapter 3. God protects his children. Yehovah, how they are increased that trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many there be who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. You, O Yehovah, are a shield around me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto Yehovah with my voice, and he heard me out of his Kadosh hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awakened, for Yehovah sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Yehovah, save me! O my El, Yeshua, salvation belongs unto Yehovah. Your blessing is upon your people. When you are a child of God, the Lord protects you, especially when you are in trouble. When you cry out to the Lord in prayer, he hears and makes a shield around you. truly, your salvation is from Yehovah. He is the one who will always rescue you and bless you. Lay hold of Elohim's salvation and his blessings. Remember in your daily worship and meditation to make a joyful noise unto Yeshua and to praise him with all your heart and love him. And now, if you'd like to contact me and leave some comments or ask some questions about the show, here's some contact information. If you enjoyed today's show and you would like to leave some comments or questions, you can write to me at robertrandallmusic@gmail.com. That's Robert Randall, RANDALL, music@gmail.com. Also, upon request, you can get a transcript of the show. Follow me on my official website, robertrandallmusic.com, where you can read about my biography, find my blog on various upcoming things. I've got two albums in the works, one an easy listening album based on Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, as well as a jazz album that Hebraically reflects many of the concepts and teachings that we understand within the Hebraic Roots community. So be on the lookout for those. Also, you can take a look at some of the DVD teachings that I have scored for Dr. William Schneblin and his ministry, withoneaccord.org. With One Accord Ministries, a biblical counseling, discipleship, biblical health, naturopathic vitalist ministry, as well as a biblical apologist ministry, ministering to lost souls for the kingdom of Messiah, reaching bound souls in the cults into the loving arms of our Savior. Dr. Schneblin is an author as well. His best-selling book, Blood on the Doorpost, now available in Spanish, changed my walk as a new believer in Messiah. Please check it out. Also, if you are local to the Colorado Springs area and you would like some music lessons, some private piano lessons, music theory or composition lessons, be they in person or on the Soundtrap website that I'm going to be talking about in a moment, you can contact me via the email address that I have left, or you can find me on thumbtack.com as well as utivity.com, utivity.com. Furthermore, you can find me on soundtrap.com, a wonderful novice for those wanting to get into music within the 21st century, a digital online platform connecting you to musicians all over the world, a great opportunity also for educators, whether you are a private educator or in the public sector. Please check it out. Also, you can find me on the sister video capture of Twitter called Periscope, P-A-R-A-S-C-O-P-E, Robert Randall Music. Sometimes I do some behind the scenes in the studio, as well as some fun compositional things with drums or just late night composition on the piano, if the Father's downloading music into my mind. So you can check it out there as well. If you are seeking a private social media network, a place for believers to find a haven, you can join me on the Mewe app. That's M-E-W-E. It is a secure social media app without the games and distractions, ads, and the political censorship and bickering of Twitter and Facebook. Mewe is a wonderful resource. You can join me in my private group, The Fellowship of the King. Yes, you heard that right. The Fellowship of the King, a haven for believers, for inspiration, crucial articles on things happening within the culture that can affect the body of Messiah, as well as devotional psalms, prayers, and more. The Fellowship of the King. Shavua Tov, Mishpacha.